This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're now listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. How should we be teaching kids about money? Well, that's the question we're going to explore today in conjunction with Universal Children's Day happening tomorrow. We're going to explore ways to teach kids about money, as well as some ways to hopefully improve financial literacy overall. And to help me with this, I'm speaking with Raymond Gabriel, Executive Director of People Systems Consultancy, a firm that works with kids on financial literacy. Raymond is also the author of the book Money Quotient. Raymond, welcome to Ringgit and Cents.
Thank you, Roshan. Thank you for having me.
So, Raymond, I think you've been pegged as a long-time educator when it comes to financial literacy through the various work you've done, including that book I just mentioned, right, Money Quotient. So, with that in mind, how would you rate the current level of financial literacy for kids in Malaysia? What are the gaps and how can we address them?
I think, you know, Malaysian financial literacy, so the scores, right, the star did an article, I think, last year. Our scores are about 36%, while developing countries rank at 59%. So we are at almost half the rate. There's a lot more to be done. 75% of Malaysian youth, actually, they can't even raise 1,000 ringgit for an emergency. This was from Bank Negara in 2015. There are about 25,000 bankruptcy cases among youth below 35 just in 2019 alone. It used to be much less, so the numbers are growing significantly. 60% of youth, they can't even actually survive beyond 3 months on their savings alone. So they don't even have a buffer. Some things that we've talked about before, Roshan. So it's a very it's a very alarming situation, actually. And, we teach children mathematics, science. We teach them English in schools. Why are we not teaching financial literacy? I think it's a life skill that's a must for everyone.
Yeah, and I think this is where your book, Money Quotient, comes in, right? Because it is a syllabus, essentially, that could be used for financial literacy. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
So I wrote the textbook in 2016, and it had sections where parents, educators could work out how to actually build financial literacy in their kids. There are different projects, fun projects that you could do with their kids. My kids were the first experiments. So my daughter started the first business at 5. Donated 50% to a charity of a choice. So I explained how to actually do it and get young kids to sell, to pitch, to calculate cost, different things. But most importantly, from ages 2 onwards, I started teaching them about the value of money. So they started paying for stuff, started to understand we had to work for money. It was very important. But then when I wrote the book in 2016, it was quite well received. But educators and schools and some people in the ministries of education in different countries that I worked with asked me to actually get a syllabus done. And in 2018, I published a syllabus for ages 13 to 17 for kids who actually, for children who actually go to schools. Now, the whole reason for this was I wanted to make financial literacy affordable because at the moment we were doing training programs. We have training programs from kids age 6 right up to retirees, university students, young adults, working adults with children. So we have different levels. But I felt that the syllabus would be good because we could just put it in the hands of educators, put it in the hands of people who wanted to impact kids in schools in different countries. And we wrote it. The MOE here actually gave us an approval as a syllabus tambahan, which is an additional syllabus to teach inside schools.
When we take a look at the syllabus, and what we're getting a hand here is how do we teach kids about money, right? So let's follow that up with, do you have 3 or even more good ways to teach young kids about money?
Yeah. So, for example, with my daughters, and I mentioned this in the book as well, instead of allowing them to buy a toy for you, like, Christmas is coming up or their birthdays are coming up, ask them to start saving, give them money every day, all right? Give them a jar and give them a purpose for the money. So, say that I give you this money, you can actually spend it. You can buy an ice cream, you can buy different things, or you can keep it. Take them to the toy shop, show them, ask them what they want to buy and work a 12-week project for them to save every day towards it. So that teaches them delayed gratification. It also teaches them, how to save, how to actually work with money towards a purpose. So there's a lot of things that actually you could do. And I think it's something very good. So I did that with my daughters and they began to save 12 weeks. And then later on, I carried it on. And so now what I do is I give them money every day. Yeah. But they don't spend it. They just save it. The other day we went to a restaurant. I think one of my youngest said, Can I pay for dinner? Because I've saved quite a lot. You know, so they understand. So they understand. They understand the value of money. Recently, there was a birthday for my youngest daughter, who's 4 years old. Both the elder ones said, "No, we want to buy her a present from our money. You know, what we save." So they bought her something that she really liked, and it wasn't cheap. It was a Lego thing. So they start understanding. Okay, this is the value of money. This is what I can use it for. I'm empowered, you know, to make decisions on money. And I think it's a fantastic thing to do with kids. Yeah?
So Raymond, that's one thing, right? So giving them a pocket money essentially, which teaches them, teaches them delayed gratification for one, but two, opportunity cost, right? They can use this money now, they can use it later, but it teaches them also resource management. Beyond giving them pocket money, what else, what other tips do you have for us in terms of educating children?
I think, you know, you can teach kids anything about money as long as you break it down. So depending on the age, right? I talk about, like, for example, a concept. How do you teach 13 to 17-year-olds, 17-year-olds? How do you teach 5 to 8-year-olds? Or 7-year-olds, how do you teach 8 to 12-year-olds? So I've tried to break it down into bite sizes and things that can understand. Another very important thing, I think, is to teach them how to budget for things, to track expenses. This is for teenage kids. So there's a free tracking template on my website. You can download it. You can actually write down your expenses. You can track your savings. So these are important things, habits to build into children before they start going and working on their own. You know, I have two nephews which I support. I put through university, and I made it a condition for them to send me a report on the expenses every month.
Wow!
So I said, that's the only thing I've asked for. I said, you can go out with your friends, you can do everything, but I teach them how to spend money, where the money goes. Right. The third important thing, I think that's very important, is that people must understand that wealth is for a purpose. So from a very young age, you should be teaching kids to donate, taking them to charities, taking them to different organizations which are doing good. Get your kids to actually start getting involved in things like this at a young age, so they have a value system when it comes to money. They don't get swallowed up by greed, Roshan. So these, I think, are the three things that I can talk about. There's a lot more, but I think these are three very important things that you should teach your kids. Can I add one more, Roshan?
Yeah, please go ahead. I told you, Raymond, three or more. So if you've got a fourth one, I'm more than happy to hear it.
Okay. The fourth thing is, people think that business is something that you only can do with university students or when you're an older person. Like I told you, my two daughters started their business at 5 years old. So business is something you must teach your kids. And the syllabus teaches you how to do that. The book teaches you how to do that, what kind of projects they can do. And I found that that has really empowered my children. Because if you find that when they're 17, 19 year old, so my daughter is doing a YouTube channel now. She's making her own animated stories, you know, and trying to get a following. So she wants to be a YouTube influencer by making animated videos on family and other stuff, right? So their businesses are getting more complex. She's 12, by the way. So she knows coding and stuff, which I signed up for. But the whole idea is to actually expose your children to business at a very young age, but expose them to business with a purpose. Like, you know, teach them, okay, I can earn this money. Both my children earn 1,000 ringgit each in a matter of a month from the business that they started. I don't make them do it full time. I take them like 2 or 3 months, just get them to do a small project. So the first business that Mia, my eldest, did was she handmade cards and she sold them to people. You know, she did it with her mom, raised about 1,000 ringgit, gave 500 to charity, and kept saving the rest for 2 years before she actually bought anything. And second one, Nora, she actually did cookies, packaged them really well, sold them, and she supported a home in Sabah for kids who were actually going to a hostel, and they would live too far away. They were rural kids. So she gave 500 ringgit to that hostel to pay for food, for education, for other things for those kids as well, older kids. The first one, Mia, actually supported an orphanage in Wang Samaju that was doing meals to raise money for kids. So they understand how to sell, they understand business, but they also understand the purpose of wealth. I think business is something you can bring to kids at a very young age.
Yeah, so I think what's one of the concerns is if you teach kids about money and resource management without the value side of things, maybe they become a bit too materialistic and get too, for lack of a better word, obsessed with money and money creation. I like what you've done there. It adds a bit of the human side to the equation. So now, Raymond, we're going to be talking a lot more about this in just a little bit. And we're going to be focusing, I think, flipping the conversation over to the parents' side. What are some fundamentals that parents can use to guide financial education should topics go off tangent. I've been speaking to Raymond Gabriel, Executive Director at People Systems Consultancy and author of the book Money Quotient. You're listening to Ring It In Sense on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Ring It In Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Today on the show, we're talking about ways to teach kids about money in conjunction with Universal Children's Day that's happening tomorrow. And I'm speaking with Raymond Gabriel, Executive Director at People Systems Consultancy and author of the book Money Quotient. Raymond, we talked about four ways to teach kids about money just a little earlier. Now I want to take a look at some fundamentals that parents can use in case things get off tangent, right? So do you have any tips here? Are there three main pillars that parents can go back to explain more complex stuff?
I think the first thing that parents need to understand is kids have got peer pressure when it comes to money, right? Even though you teach your kids the value of money, you teach the kids the value of money and not the brands, they may have peers who are buying all the biggest brands and trying to live a certain lifestyle, which may be beyond the means of some parents. You know, I believe that brands are not important. Even if I can, I remember my 12-year-old when she was 10, a group of students in a school decided to have a branded bag to belong in a certain club. And she was left out because she said, I need to buy that bag to be part of a club. And it's very tough to tell your children because these are all your good friends, right? But you need to tell your kids that, you know, so these are things that go off tangent, peer pressure. So I said, no, you don't have to buy something to belong. If they're really your friends, they should accept you for who you are. And it was tough for her, but she understood. So the first thing that parents have got to deal with is that peer pressure, that pressure to actually conform, you know, to buy certain things, to go out to certain places. And this goes beyond money, because if we are influenced by just people around us and we don't have our own value system, you find your kids are going to be taken up and doing the wrong things. So it's important for parents to give a very strong purpose for money to kids very early on and keep bringing them back to their purpose. If they say, I want to buy this, I want to need this brand, I want to do that, don't give in to them. Ask them to save towards it. Tell them that, okay, fine, you can buy this or we can support the charity you've been supporting for the last 5 years since you were five. You know, which is more important, to feed kids or to buy that brand to impress your friends? So always bring them back to a common purpose and something they can do. So that's one thing you can do.
So it's really about getting them to think critically about the money they have in their hand, right? How to determine value, correct, teaching them the value of money through work so that they know it doesn't appear out of thin air.
Yes, I think it's important to, I have conversations with kids, you know, why I work late, why I'm writing a book, why am I doing these things? I can just sit down and watch TV, you know, 2 hours a day or whatever. But I use my time to actually grow, work hard for them, put them aside. I said, this is your school. This is how much it costs to send you to the school. Show them invoices, show them the lifestyle. Okay, we're going for a holiday, but this is how much it costs. They need to understand that things are not free, especially for kids who come from a slightly more affluent background and they didn't go through the struggles that we maybe went through when we are younger. It's important not to nag them, but to show them, you know, this is how much things cost. This is what, and talk to them about that at dinner time, you know. Talk to them about investing, talk to them about different things and have that. Now, one very important thing is that coming back to that purpose for wealth that I told you about, you got to solidify that with your kids. So it's important that when your kids are younger, to take them to visit orphanages, to take them to visit certain places which are NGOs doing community work, see children who are not doing as well as them, see people who are not as doing as well as them. These are things I actually made sure I exposed my kids to as early as 2+. You know, and at 3, I had a conversation with my daughter and she said, I now understand what being poor means, because I took her to a very rural village where we trained some people from families who were displaced. They were estate workers and the estate closed down. So they were left without a job, without anything else. So we were training them to actually start a business. And I told my kids, you have a job. You have to bring your toys because these kids are poor kids. They don't have money. Your job is to entertain the kids so that the mothers could attend the program. And so they worked. They worked the whole day there. You know, it was next to a chicken farm, Roshan. It was a zinc roof with a fan, no aircon, so it was really hot. But they learned a lot from doing that program with me. You know, and it's good to make them your partners in this kind of thing as well.
It's also about its exposure, right? Because they have no context otherwise, and you need to show them that context. It's one thing to tell someone something, and even for adults, it's one thing to tell someone something and say something. It's another thing to show them and expose them and make them aware with their own, I guess, for lack of better words, with their own two hands.
Sure. The most important thing, which is the third point I want to bring up about going off tangent, is that many kids go off tangent because parents go off tangent. They see behaviors in you. For example, you tell them, oh, don't waste money, don't spend it. And they see you going to a shopping center, oh, sale, you're going to still grab something and buy it. You know, so you're, what are you modeling? So if anybody puts the word sale there, you're going to buy something, you know? But it's like, what I do with my kids is, even if I see a sale, I said, okay, I'm comparing the price, this price with that price. You know, I think it was 50% lower, but let me think about it. I go back, I think about it for a day or two, and then I come back with them. If I really need it, or if the family really needs it, then I buy something. They see me comparing prices, getting three quotes, you know, to buy something. So I teach them those things, you know. So it's important for them to understand that. So in the book, what I do is to make sure that parents first get their finances right while they're teaching it to their kids. Because you cannot teach kids what you don't practice.
Okay, that's a really good point to make, right? Because kids are very absorbent when it comes to learning behaviors and observing the way we do things. Another thing, right. Actually, when it comes to kids, as maybe the older kids, Raymond, you know, right now we're going through a tougher economic times. And again, conceptually, it's tough to understand what something like a recession means. Do you have any thoughts on how we can help them understand, or at least how do we introduce them to a concept like this?
I think depending on the age of your kids, I think for older kids, you can talk to them. A recession is two consecutive quarters of negative growth. You know, you can talk to them about economic reports. For older kids who are teenagers, they can understand that. But for very young kids, you have to tell them that, okay, now because of the pandemic, people have lost jobs. What they used to earn, they're not getting anymore. So people can't afford it. You see that, you look at restaurants, you look at places closing down. Talk to them and keep them aware that it's not the same time they're living in before. And I think it's important for them to understand that as a value system, Roshan. So you can actually explain economics in terms of people not having enough. You see, like, for example, I noticed that some parents in the school, which were their friends, had to take their kids out of school because they couldn't afford the school fees anymore, you know? So I talked to them about that. I let them know people are suffering. They're not doing that well because it's a difficult time for many people right now.
Raymond, on that note, I'd just like to wrap up this conversation and take a look at maybe what do you think are the most underrated or overlooked items when it comes to teaching kids about financial literacy?
The first thing is people think, I remember when I did a program for a large organization and I told them the topics I'm talking about, for example, investing in the share market, how to read PE value, and other things. And they said, look, these are university students. We did a focus group and none of them would be able to understand the topic that you're teaching. So this is the number one thing that parents got to understand. Kids are a sponge. You can teach them anything. We've taught 12-year-olds how to read the share section of the newspapers and now the online. They can tell you price. They can make decisions. They went back and they started co-investing with their parents at 12 years old. Okay, so there's nothing that you can't teach your kids. It's just a matter of whether you want to break it down, you want to spend time with them, do you want to educate them? So think about how you teach a concept. I think that's the number one gap that parents feel. That, for example, maybe finance is too hard. Just tell them to have a piggy bank and that's it. No, take it to the next level. I'm talking to my kids about investing with me in shares. So they have put their pocket money with me. I've asked them to invest with me in property. So they put in their pocket money to that. So what they're saving for now is growing their wealth. And I'm slowly bringing it to them, you know, at age 12 and below. So imagine that when they have that, I mean, by the time they are older, they would understand, you know, how to do from their part-time business, what I want to invest in, how I grow it some more, and what I can do. And they could become a very big influencer doing that, you know. The second gap, I think, that parents would have is they don't spend time explaining why are we making decisions, you know. Don't make decisions as a husband and wife alone. You know, for example, if you need to buy a new house, you're selling a property, you're going to invest in shares, talk about that at the dinner table. I think it's very important to keep conversation going because kids can pick up vocabulary, they can pick up what you're talking about, they can ask questions and they can get interested in picking up the right principles with money. So that's another critical thing that I think people should do.
All right, Raymond, with that in mind, I think we've covered quite a bit of ground here and I'd like to thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, Roshan. And very happy to always talk to you.
I was speaking with Raymond Gabriel, Executive Director at People Systems Consultancy, a firm that works with kids on financial literacy. Raymond is also the author of the book Money Quotient. And you've been listening to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanasan for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.